If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. I'm going to stop right there. What I have read to you are the words of the wisdom of God. He just said it. I didn't read it. In verse 19, I will destroy, abolish, render useless the wisdom of the wise, meaning the wisdom of this world. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But the Greeks are not seeking here in the Scriptures the wisdom of God. They are seeking the wisdom of this world. God said, I've already destroyed it. The wisdom of this world is nothing to God. It may be right, some of it, but it's nothing compared to the wisdom of God, because Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the power of God, and He is the wisdom of God. I think everyone here knows this, but I want to go to Proverbs chapter 8, toward the end of the chapter, just for a little context. Well, the first verse. Doth not wisdom cry? This is Proverbs 8, verse 1. And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth on the top of the high places, by the path of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. And look at verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Those words in Proverbs take on a very, very precise meaning when you understand those are the words of Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. That's the title, Paul. Christ, the wisdom of God. See, to whom does wisdom call? And understanding give voice? And the answer is us. Wisdom calls to men. Jesus Christ came to call sinners to repentance. The voice of wisdom is unto the sons of man. And very, very, very clearly, the writer of Proverbs wrote of the wisdom of God as a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Don't be confused where it says she. That starts actually in the chapter before. He is speaking of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Now, I got four things here that I want to put forth that Christ, the wisdom of God, shows us. The first one is this. Christ, the wisdom of God, shows the awfulness, and according to my computer, that's a real word, the awfulness of sin. Christ, the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the Word of God, shows the holiness of God. And the wisdom of God shows the love of God. That's three. And the fourth is this. Christ, the wisdom of God, shows us the forgiveness of sins. The first thing. Christ, the wisdom of God, shows the awfulness of sin. Well, in Proverbs 8:36, it says, "He that sinneth against me. Every sin that is committed is a sin against Jesus Christ. Every sin that is committed, it's a sin against God. Sins are not against men. Sin is an offense against God. Now, yes, in the course of sin, you may offend a man. But that's not the point. That's not what we're dealing with here. Sin is against Jesus Christ. It's against the wisdom of God. And very succinctly, in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified." Crucified. Crucified. Because the best way, I think, to comprehend the awfulness of sin is to contemplate the required punishment of that sin. Death. Understand? The punishment for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We preach Christ crucified. Crucified. The suffering and death of our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross was not exaggerated. The awfulness of sin is shown in the very fact that it took the death of God's holy Son to remedy that. The punishment for sin is absolute death. God hates sin. Sin is spitting in the face of a thrice holy God. God is offended by sin, and God's wrath is against sin, and God's wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ on that tree. You understand? No, I don't either. But this is the point. This is how awful sin is. In order to remove sin, it took the death of the Holy One of Israel. The Anointed One, the Messiah, the perfect, perfect God manifest in the flesh. My death, your death, no one else's death would mean a thing towards sin.
Right.
It would have been a just punishment. Right. You'd be getting exactly what you deserved. Because that's the point. It doesn't matter whether you or I are offended by sin. God is. And when our Father, we can call Him that, our Father made Him to be sin for us, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, had to die. Our substitute took on our sin. They were laid on Him. He bore them in His own body on the tree. And what happened was that God killed Jesus Christ. I know they said, oh, the Jews killed Jesus. Yes, they did. You can also say the Gentiles killed Jesus, because the Scripture does. And yes, they did. But He was delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. And this is the awfulness of sin. The Holy One, the only Holy One ever to walk upon this earth, took upon Himself our sins, and He died. He died. Even our perfect substitute must die, because Christ was made to be sin. And sin is against God. God's Holy Son had to die. That just boggles my mind when I think about it. That's the only price that would take away the sin of the world. The death of the perfect Son of God. The well-beloved Son of God. Hear ye Him. We preach Christ crucified. There's no escape for sin. Sin's got to be punished. Sin has got to be punished. God has spoken. He'll bring it to pass. That's how awful the awfulness of sin is, that the Son of God had to die because of our sins. That's just something else. But Proverbs 8:36 also points this out. I don't want to leave it out. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love death. Death. Not only our sins are against Jesus Christ, the word there means that sins do violence to your own soul. Where do sins come from? It says we're led away of our own lust and enticed. But Christ was even more specific. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sins come from within. And He started off with that one, evil thoughts. When He was naming them, evil thoughts. Then He goes into adulteries, murder, fornications, whatever. But it starts off with evil thoughts. Sin does violence to your own soul because it comes from within you. It's here. It's here. It's in our old man now, in the flesh. He that sinneth against me wrongs his own soul, does violence to your own soul. Because sins come from your heart, and sins do damage. Now, You may not feel it, but God said it. So it's so. It's so. It's so. You may not know it, but God said it, and it's so. But think about this. Think about this just for a minute. Every sin, I'm going to use myself as an example here, so I don't have to blame you guys. Every sin that I commit now has already been laid on Him. Every sin that I commit from now until whenever is one more sin that was laid on Him. That's a scary thought. And it's a spooky thought. The wisdom of God shows the awfulness of sin. We preach Christ crucified. But also, Christ, the wisdom of God, shows the holiness of God. Why? Well, I just sort of said it. Christ crucified shows that God is absolutely holy. He cannot even look upon sin. Even when His holy, righteous, glorious Son takes our sins in His own body, on the tree, God couldn't look at it. God is too holy. And God must punish sins. Any sin and every sin must be punished, no matter where it is. On you or on Him. On you, in you, or in Him. What did Christ cry out while He was on that cross? He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That's how holy God is. You understand, God hadn't gone anywhere. Jesus Christ hadn't gone anywhere. What's the difference? When He hath made Him to be sin, God forsook God. And I agree with Martin Luther. I can't understand that. But I do know why. I do know why. Because God is absolutely holy, and His Son was made to be sin. He had to forsake the Lord of glory. Now, that's a statement I never thought I would ever make. But it's the truth. He had to forsake God manifest in the flesh. Because Christ, the wisdom of God, Christ crucified, shows us the holiness of God. God forsook, deserted, left behind His only begotten Son, while He was on that cross. God never, ever overlooks sin. He's too holy. He's too holy. I'm going to tell you something. He's too holy for men to understand. You can talk to Him and find out for yourselves. You understand? That's another place where you can get people not to believe the Bible by reading it to them. God is so holy, He can't even look upon it. He's not going to overlook it. He didn't overlook it in His Son.
Right.
You think He's going to overlook it in you? Not a chance. You want to be really mean, I'd say not a chance in hell. What do you want? I want Christ to have suffered for my sins.
Amen.
By the holiness of God.
Yeah.
The holiness of God decreed God must punish sins.
Yeah.
and God did for some in His Son on that tree. Christ crucified shows us the holiness of God. Thirdly, Christ, the wisdom of God, shows forth the love of God. He shows forth the love of God in the fact that when Christ was crucified, He gave Himself, His very person, for us. He was made the awfulness of sin in our place, in our stead. Christ, the Messiah, was crucified not for Himself or anything He had done. He was crucified for His brethren. He loved us, even while we were unlovable. He loved us while we were ungodly and unrighteous. You can't be ungodly and not be unrighteous. And if you're unrighteous, it's because you're ungodly. I'll just throw that in for free. But He loved us. And what? And gave Himself for us. When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, do you know you're ungodly? I'm not saying Jesus Christ died for everyone. I will never say that by God's grace with any breath in my body. Because I believe that Christ, the wisdom of God, shows us the love of God for His people, His brethren. What does Proverbs 8:31 say? My delights were with the sons of men. That ought to bless your soul. Jesus Christ loves His brethren. He loves His brethren. Who are His brethren? Everyone that the Father gave Him before the foundation of the world. Everyone that was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Christ died for them. Christ crucified. Christ, the wisdom of God, shows forth the absolute, perfect love of God. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, took upon Himself, bearing His own body on the tree, the awfulness of sin. Our sin. He suffered for us the death that the holiness of God required. And He did it all in love for His people. He did it willingly, and He did it lovingly. With full knowledge, this is the thing, with full knowledge of what it was going to cost. The disciples didn't know. He told them He was going to do it, but they still didn't know. We don't know now. We have the words, but we don't know what actually Christ went through. This one who had been, Proverbs 8 again, talking about the wisdom of God. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass, his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. This one, the eternal Son, always with the Father, always in perfect harmony, perfect will. I and my Father are one. This one was forsaken by the Father for us because of his love for us. Christ crucified shows forth the love of God. First Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 tells us that by his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we are saved. Not by our acceptance of it, not by our acknowledgement of it, but by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's his gospel, and we're doing our best to preach him. Christ crucified is the gospel. Fourthly, Christ, the wisdom of God, shows us the forgiveness of sins. Proverbs 8:35 put it this way. He that finds me, the wisdom of God, finds life. Finds life. Now, he didn't say you got to go out and find him. He didn't say it's all up to you now. No, but if you find him, you found life.
Amen.
Why? Because he is life. He is life. Christ, the wisdom of God, is life incarnate. You know, Jesus Christ did die. Christ was crucified. And we preach that. But we don't stop there with just that crucifixion. It wasn't possible that death could hold him. Because he is life incarnate. With Jesus Christ, there is life eternal. Without Jesus Christ, there's no life. There's no life. And believers are, and know they are, accepted in the Beloved. You understand? I'm under no illusions whatsoever that I had anything to do with my salvation. I might have thought I did at one time. And a stray thought may pop in every now and then, but I cast it out as fast as I can. Because I had nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ other than I was in him. And my sins were in him, on him, laid there. And he bore them in his own body on the tree. And he is my salvation, not what I do with him. He that findeth him findeth life. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to find him until he finds you.
Right. Exactly.
That's the parable of the lost sheep. He goes out and finds it. He picks it up and puts it on his shoulder. Guess what? That lost sheep has found him.
Right.
That's the only way you're ever going to find him is if he comes and finds you.
Amen.
And if you're one of his sheep, he will find you. It don't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. He'll find you. I have full confidence in the good shepherd.
Amen.
And I have absolutely no confidence in me or any of you or anyone out there. Not a lick. Not a piece. None. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's Old Testament and that's New Testament.
Amen.
From beginning to end. But Christ, the wisdom of God, shows us the forgiveness of sins. We know now, if he has found you and you have found him, you have found life. That we are called the sons of God. Now, doesn't that sound proud? It ain't. It's not. We're only sons of God because he has made us sons of God. And by Christ crucified, he has forgiven us what? All sin.
Yeah.
What about? Doesn't matter what about. There is no what about. Not with God. Paul wrote it in Romans, one of my favorite scriptures. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord, and these are the two words, will not impute sin.
Amen.
Walter, that's the forgiveness of sin. That's the forgiveness of sin. I said it for years and I'll keep saying it. It's not saying blessed is the man who doesn't sin. Because of course he would be blessed. But that was only Christ.
Yeah.
Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. When? It doesn't matter. He won't.
Right.
What if I run away? He won't.
Right.
What if I deny him? He won't.
Right.
He won't. What about when I fall? He won't. What if I lie, cheat, steal, smoke cigarettes, drink beer, go to a movie? He will not impute sin
right.
to that blessed man.
Right,
Joe. Ooh, I like, it's like nevertheless, you know? All them Jews have done all, and Israel have done all these bad things. Nevertheless, I saved them. You know why? Not because of themselves, in spite of themselves.
Amen.
He died for the ungodly, folks, and that's us. If you don't fit the category, if you don't think you're ungodly, I got nothing for you. But if you know you're ungodly, I know the Savior. And guess what? He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. God will not ever, 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 never ever impute sin to any for which Jesus Christ was crucified.
Amen.
Their sins are, have been, never will again, they have been punished.
Yeah.
You understand, when we sing that song, I do know how it is in most places, but when we sing that song, Jesus paid it all, we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
All the debt I owed.
Because
You understand, the only thing to take away a sin, according to this book, is blood. And it's not the blood of a lamb, a goat, a chicken, or a hog. It's the blood of the precious Son of God. The precious blood of the precious Son of God. There's no more punishment for those sins. Because Christ, the wisdom of God, paid them in full. And there's no more payment to be made.
sins, tetelestai, paid in full.
It is finished. There is no more debt.
Yeah.
It's not saying you don't sin anymore. It's saying that God won't impute it to you.
And that's the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah. Paul wrote it in Romans 8:32. He, speaking of God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, who for? For us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know one of them all things that he gives you is forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
He didn't spare his son, but he's going to spare you.
Yeah.
And he's going to spare you if you're any son.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. That's the forgiveness of sins. God freely gives you all things. Because Jesus Christ, the power and the wisdom of God, is the forgiveness of sins for us all. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Now, I'm going to be clear. There's no separation between those things. He is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. You can't be the wisdom of God without the power of God. And you can't be the power of God without the wisdom of God. And guess what? That has always been true. Old Testament and New. And he is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God, if nobody believes it. People have this really funny idea that their belief affects God.
Right. Right.
Do you understand? And I'm serious. That's funny to me. I mean, I have an absurd sense of humor. I know I do. But I enjoy irony and I enjoy dry wit. But thinking somebody's out there thinking that they can change God's mind, they can do anything to God, you know the whole answer to that question is, you don't know God. Because you have no idea who you're dealing with. That's flesh. That's nothing but flesh. That's the depravity of human thought which comes from the human heart. Man is so blind and so ignorant of God that he thinks he can affect God. We cannot affect the power of God and the wisdom of God. Period. But he affects us. Because the person that hears Christ Jesus, the person that hears instruction, bring it down to today, that hears the gospel preached, and, this is a very key thing, doesn't refuse. Doesn't refuse. Doesn't what? Rebel. That person is wise.
Yeah.
That person is wise in the ways of the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. They are the body of Christ, and they are members in particular. I like that statement. The body of Christ, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Guess what? You are where you are supposed to be. I read something today, this morning as a matter of fact, in a secular book. And I thought, wait a minute, that applies to us. The fellow said this, I always belong wherever I am. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the absolute truth if you're in Christ. I always belong where I am. Why? Because of the power of God and because of the wisdom of God. What's that mean? That means all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Because here's the truth. If you know Christ, you are always where you belong, wherever you are. Now, I'm not saying it's going to absolve you of any trouble you get into while you're there. And maybe you're not supposed to be there, but you are there. Trust me, the wisdom of God knows where you are. Yeah. That's the only reason I can say that, is because of the power of God and the wisdom of God. We believers hear Him and believe Him. And we have, what did it say? I like this part. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Isn't that grand? Isn't that glorious? In Christ, and in Christ alone. And that's Christ and Him crucified. We shall obtain favor of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's a glorious thing. Because of His Son. The wisdom of God. Our Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for all that You've done. All that You're doing. Help us to lay hold of Christ stronger, tighter. Help us to learn of Him. Be with Walter as he comes to preach Your gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.